The Golden Valley's 95.3 Triple M. Well, I've said it once, and I'll probably say it every time. I am so lucky in this role to be able to talk to so many great Australian musicians. So many great Australian musicians that, again, formed my love of music and encouraged me to play music in various different bands. I started this all off talking with Ella Hooper, of course, local heroes Killing Heidi from up the road in Violettown. Then I spoke to Phil Jamison from Grinspoon, over Cram from Spider Bait. Last week, I had the Birds of Tokyo, I've had Diesel, Tim Rogers, I've had Kevin Mitchell of Jebediah, and hey, sticking with my good form, I'm joined on the phone by Pat Robinson, the lead singer and guitar player for Melbourne rock outfit and Australian favourites, Motor Race. Motor Race burst onto the Australian scene in the late 90s, and just to give you an idea of how busy and successful they were, in 4 years, they had three chart-topping albums in the top 50. It started with Five Star Laundry, Shoot This, and Animal, and I haven't included their EP. At the end of 2005, the band decided to call it a day, but to celebrate 20 years of their iconic catalogue, they got back together earlier this year and jumped on the road for a couple of dates, and they haven't finished yet. They've saved the best for last, of course, going back for the hometown show at the ESPY on Friday the 4th of October. It is going to be a huge show. Pat Robinson, have I covered everything off, mate? Did I miss anything?
Done an amazing job, actually. I'm thinking you should get up on stage before we come on and do a bit of a spruik.
Hey, well, Pat, I will take you up on that because I'm going to be at the gig on Friday the 4th of October. It would be my honour to get the crowd fired up for you, if you want me to, of course.
Yes, we'll talk later.
We'll talk later. Sounds good. Just I'll see how good I interview. Now, yeah. Pat, again, thank you for your time, mate. A lot of people are excited for you guys getting back together. Can I start off with, well, did you feel pressure? Was it a lot of people tapping you on the shoulder going, guys, you've just clocked up 20 years, why don't you go play some dates this year?
No, we didn't really cop pressure from anyone. I think we just, the record company decided to release our first record, Five Star Laundry, late last year, and we were sort of thinking, well, it kind of coincides with 20 years since we launched. Should we actually think about getting back together? And I think the idea would have been too intimidating, but Damo and I have been playing in another band just for, you know, a few months and kind of kicking around and thought, you know, we can still actually pull it off. We can pull off a reasonable show. So we thought, well, let's just do it. You know, it's a sort of a good time to do it before we get too old and sort of too decrepit to be able to pull off a reasonable show. So, yeah, no, we did it. And it was great. The tour was fantastic.
So obviously you had good crowds at the dates, which was in March and April, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
What was the feedback like? Was it obviously people were very happy to have you back and, of course, playing the hits from those three albums?
Feedback was great. You know, like, I think we'd always had pretty high standards as a live band. We always put a lot of energy in. We always worked pretty hard. And I think we were a little bit nervous. We were hoping that we'd be able to pull it off. But I mean, all the feedback we got was that we were, you know, more or less, as good as we were back in the day. So that was obviously, you know, extremely, happy to hear that.
Of course. Now, you guys kicked around in Melbourne in the late 90s. That's where it all sort of started for you guys with your EP. I just want to get an idea of the sort of bands that you were going to check out in Melbourne. Of course, Melbourne's got an amazing live music scene, still does. What were the bands that you were sort of checking out and admired?
I mean, obviously, UMI were a pretty massive one for us. Probably one of the biggest influences on, you know, particularly early kind of Motor Race songwriting. There were lots of bands. Probably there was kind of a lot of bands that kicked around Melbourne who may not have kind of connected with the wider Australian
more underground band, sort of bands.
Yeah, bands like Rail. I don't know if you've heard of a band called Rail. They did pretty well for a while, and you know, there's a pretty vibrant scene then, but a lot of them didn't really kind of go beyond Melbourne.
Yeah, they sort of stayed in that area. They were sort of the local underground heroes, so to speak. Now, it started with Five Star Laundry, which was March 2001. That was my first intro to you guys. Now, Pat, I read here that it was recorded during the heatwave and it took 4 weeks to record and you had to do it all without air conditioning.
Yeah, that's going back probably 20 years, literally 20 years. So the memories are a little vague.
Yeah, but, I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time in the sort of 6 weeks in the studio for us, and, you know, getting to do a record on sort of the old school tape machines and before kind of computers took over, and, yeah, you know, even having no air conditioning and whatnot. It was great though, you know, like, I wouldn't take it back for anything. It was amazing to do a record in the kind of the old school way, and you know, literally go in there and put it all down to tape, and you can't really sit there and second guess and come back later and fix it. It's just, you know, you make that commitment and kind of move on. I kind of actually relish doing that. I'd love to kind of actually have that approach again.
Oh, well, hey, never say never. I mean, again, there's lots of record studios that'd be happy to have you, Pat. Back in with the band. Now, of course, after that, you were launched. You were getting heavy airplay on various radio stations around Australia, and of course, you hit the road pretty quickly. And then again, correct me if I'm wrong. Within about 12 months, you get Shoot This out as well, and this was the big single, Carry On. It's still a song that is played on high rotation on lots of radio stations. Did you have any? First question is two parts. First question: the inspiration behind that song. The second part is: did you have any sort of concept that that song was going to really be gold for you guys?
The inspiration for it, it's kind of getting a little bit geeky, but I bought a new piece of gear, and it had a keyboard with a whole lot of string sounds in it, and I just started tinkering with it, and I kind of came up with that sort of main, you know, string hook in that song, and that kind of inspired the rest of the song. And it happened really quickly. I'd probably written that song in about probably almost in completion from probably about 2 hours, which is pretty rare. Like, often you tinker away at songs for weeks and months. But that one all kind of popped out in a, you know, like in a revelation, I suppose. And I kind of, in some ways, you know, you never know how big the song's going to be, but I think there was some kind of magic to that, the writing of that song. And then we sort of played it to a few people, and everyone was like, oh, that's your first, you know, that's your first hit song. We're like, oh, really? So there was a little bit of an expectation that there was something special about that track.
Just to give listeners an insight into how special that track is, I've got a little grab here I'm going to play. Yeah, absolutely. Still sounds as good as the day it came out, Pat, don't you reckon? Are you allowed to comment on that?
I always try to keep them honesty, but no, it sounds all right, you know, like a bit of a timeless kind of sound, and, you know, we're referencing a lot of those classic, you know, British rock bands, I guess, so, you know, yeah, there's always a place for it.
Very good point. It sort of has a bit of Oasis and Supergrass and that sort of a feeling there as well. Now, of course, after that a second album came out, Pat, you and the band, you had a really hectic touring schedule, the work schedule, lots of pressures. I have read in interviews that it did take a big toll on the band, but particularly you, Pat, and you decided to retreat for a bit and work on some solo stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess some people are kind of cut out for the being on the road lifestyle, and for me it was always making records. That was the reason I got into it in the first place, and I love being in the studio, and I still do, but touring relentlessly and non-stop, and then I guess all the you know, the promo schedule around that, and I kind of took a toll on me. I guess I was kind of the primary songwriter as well, so trying to find the energy in amongst all of that to actually keep writing and keep writing good material, I found pretty hard. So I kind of wore myself out.
And you decided, to just go back to Melbourne and take some time to rethink things.
Well, we were kind of debating, you know, whether or not I was kind of debating personally whether or not to continue. And I kind of, for probably, I reckon, almost 2 years, I didn't really do anything. And then I started to chip away at some new material, which kind of formed the last record, Animal. And by the time we started doing that, I was feeling pretty happy about the creative process, and, you know, I think it was a great record. It didn't really connect, didn't have the sort of the big commercial bangers on it, but I think it was a great album. We certainly kind of we got a lot of, for what it's worth, we got quite a lot of good critical feedback for it, so that was some consolation, I guess.
You certainly did, absolutely. I mean, it must have been tough at the end of 2005 when you did decide to call it a day. But I think it would be fair to say as well that you sort of never ruled out a reunion, or did you say at the time, "Nah, that's it, I'm going to go in a different direction," or did you always sort of keep that candle burning? That
I don't think we ever said no publicly. I mean, I think probably internally we were like, I think that's pretty unlikely. But, you know, and we sort of had sort of sporadic offers over the years, you know, maybe like, you know, late sort of or early sort of 2010 and here and there. But it was just like, nah, look, everyone's just too soon. It's not, there's no real reason to do it. And I think we thought maybe, you know, yeah, maybe further down the track we might. And, you know, everyone's kind of mellowed a lot, and it's actually much more fun being with these guys, and myself included. I'm probably much less of a pain in the ass than I used to be. And
oh, you didn't have that classic frontman syndrome, did you, Pat?
No, well, you know, I think that it wasn't from the band. I think I've always been difficult. No matter what I do, I'm always a bit overthink these things. So, you know, it can be a bit painful for people. But,
well, a lot of musicians are very OCD, Pat.
I think so.
A lot of them I've spoken to have got, like, you know, they basically, like, it's the best analogy I got given was Tim Rogers, funnily enough. He said, "My mind is like you take a vase and you push it off and you smash it on the ground." That's my process. That's how I look at a song. So it's like, you got to put the vase back together. And that can cause tension with lots of different bands. And obviously, you know, if you are the primary songwriter, everyone's sort of looking at you going, "Hey, mate, when can we get cracking?" You know, sort of thing.
Exactly.
And that's all pressure and all that kind of stuff as well. So since 2005, Pat, you've been performing, you've been still very active in music?
Not really. I mean, I kind of did a few years of sort of screen music, so that's, you know, film and TV projects, and did that for a little while. But then, I had a couple of kids, young kids, and I just that's the one. It just didn't seem sustainable. Like, I just couldn't justify it. You know, I didn't want to get myself in a situation where I was having to do shows to pay bills. You know, like I just never wanted to be in that position. And so I'd rather progress and go to a whole different career, which I did. And it's nice being in that position now. There's no pressure. I mean, anything we do with Motor Race now, it comes from a much more pure place. There's no sort of financial, you know, driver there, because everyone's got a job. So it's purely music, and there's none of that sort of desperation to keep the career moving or anything, which is nice.
Now, of course, we want to talk about the ESPY gig. It's the big one coming up on Friday, October the 4th. Tickets are still available. I've been on the ESPY website, and, of course, your Facebook as well. You can get all the information. We're going to whack it up in our socials as well. How do you feel about that show? It's a big one for you. Of course, the ESPY has been reborn. It's a very iconic venue of the Melbourne scene. Have you played there before in the old days?
We used to play there all the time. It was probably one of our main venues, I reckon. We played the front bar probably a dozen times. Gershon Room, I reckon, probably a dozen times as well. So, but we haven't stepped in there probably since 2005. So I think it'll bring back of, you know, a lot of nostalgia, and it'll be great. It's always been a great venue.
It is a great venue, and I mean, I'll tell you this right now. I am going to see this gig on Friday, October the 4th. It's going to be my first gig at the ESPY ever. So it's good, good to know that I'm going to be in very good hands with a regular band in Motor Race.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I've got to ask you one final question. Look, I'm sure you got offered it all through March and April. Are there any thoughts about a new album?
We are looking at doing some recording after these shows. We've got a couple of shows. We've got actually a gig after the day after the ESPY show up in Queensland, and we're going to kind of reconvene in October and go into the studio and muck around with some ideas that we've been working on. Don't know if it's going to result in an album, but I think there will be a release of some description soon-ish.
Well, that's very exciting news for us.
And you're
probably
first to hear that, actually.
I've got the exclusive from the source. Excellent. I love my exclusives, Pat. Well, mate, look, I know you've got a lot to get ready for. It's been so lovely talking to you. All the best with everything you've got going on with the band and outside of the band. Congratulations on your success. The tour went well, and it's been a real joy talking to Pat Robinson, the lead singer and guitar player from Motor Race, mate. Looking forward to seeing you at the ESPY on Friday, October the 4th.
Thanks very much. Awesome.